This is The Financial Coconut, Singapore's first personal finance podcast network. And I'm Timothy Mazier, editor-in-chief of Blockhead. Join me and the crew on our weekly Friday segment as we filter out the noise in the crypto space and keep you updated on the ideas that actually matter. This is Blockcast.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to another week's episode of Blockcast. I'm your host for today, Ryan, your substitute financial coconut sitting in for Reggie as he has some matters to attend to.
Hi, and I'm Mark. I'm the founder and CEO of Blockhead.
And this is Timothy Mazier, managing editor at Blockhead.
This is Bosley coming in to chime in and get some to learn from everyone.
All right, cool.
How's everyone doing today?
Doing good. It's been a good week.
Nice.
How about you guys?
Buying coins?
I made some ridiculously lucky calls a few days ago. I decided to dump a portion of my Tesla shares and put it into like Palantir, and then like it just pumped by 25%.
Damn.
I don't want to brag, but yeah, I am kind of bragging. So like, you know, it is...
I would brag if it was a 25% pump. I would.
You know, it's more luck than anything else, guys. So like, you know, better be lucky than smart here.
Yeah. That's true.
Hey, when did we last speak to Boss Lee on the show? How long has it been?
Maybe 2 weeks, two episodes.
Huh? Only 2 episodes ago? Oh, it feels like very long.
Yeah, time flies.
Yeah, 2 weeks ago. Yeah.
Okay.
I think the crypto space flies super fast.
Metaverse timing.
Yeah.
So what have you been up to then?
I think most recently been exploring BRC20 and going in depth to see how exactly it works.
Like the Bitcoin and playing around. Bitcoin NFTs, is it?
So you know about BRC20?
Yeah, the ordinals.
Ordinals. So yeah. Ordinals is the social view on the BTC blockchain, right? And that's where you can see all the NFT like kind of stuff. But BRC20 is the token version and it's on ordinals. So from there, people can create meme coins and start the typical speculating.
We should totally do like a primer on how to mint Bitcoin NFTs.
Yeah. We should totally do that. Initially, there was, we might sidetrack away from this, but we need a different episode. It's, they call it Inscribe Bitcoin NFT. And they call it digital artifact. Otherwise, the Bitcoin Maxi will feel very hurt. So try not to use like NFT because they are feeling the vandalism on the chain right now with all this. So I was speaking to some friends that are very into BTC one, like they are like BTC only, like this kind of friends.
And
they're feeling like you are vandalizing my chain right now.
So just a curious question, right? I know that you need like an Ordinals compatible wallet, first of all, and some BTC to start, right? In terms of gas fees, right? Like how does it compare, right, with ETH?
So right now, because of the spike, right? So 2 weeks ago, the chain fee was around $3 to $4. Right now, average about $15 to $20.
Wow.
I mean, compared to ETH, is I mean, if you're coming from Ethereum gas fee, you don't feel the pinch, lah. But if you have always been on BTC doing P2P, peer transfer, suddenly you will feel the pinch.
Right. And then in terms of, just for the benefit of our audience, right, in terms of listing these NFTs or trading these, right, like what are the marketplaces, you know, do people usually go to?
Unistats. UNISATS.
Unistats.
Unistats.
I know there's Gamma as well, right?
There are a few. Initially, right? There was no marketplace. Everyone was doing OTC.
Nice.
Yeah, so that was pretty hardcore also. So when they do OTC. But right now, there's a marketplace. And I feel it's fun. There are new things added, but I do not think it's easy to gain adoption because it's still quite complicated. I mean, to say, like you said just now, you need a separate wallet address. It's not your typical Bitcoin address. So Bitcoin address has several different standards. And the one that we need it to work with Ordinals is that has this improvement called Taproot. So when you create a Bitcoin wallet, right, you can select. So you must correct the correct one. And there's another problem of unless you look into it and if you do not understand, because the NFT, digital artifact or the token, right, is created on chain.
That's actually really interesting to me, actually.
Because it's on chain, right, every individual stats is the smallest unit of a Bitcoin, right? So today, if I want to send, let's say, $20 worth of Bitcoin to you, I might accidentally send part of my ordinals to you. Then my ordinals will get destroyed.
I see.
So it's not that simple. That's why they are saying that you need to have a different wallet just for your ordinals.
Got it.
And that wallet is just for storage. You cannot send like payment out because you might accidentally send your parts of your ordinal out or your token out, right? You no longer can form to become your digital artifact or the NFT.
Right.
Yeah. So the adoption is not easy.
Yeah, I'm just very curious, right? So wondering, because there have been some attempts to kind of, I mean, I think back in 2014, 2015, Bitcoin NFTs or, digital artifacts, as we call them now, why are we seeing a renewed interest in this area at the moment, right? Is it because of the new, I don't know. It feels like a breakthrough innovation, right? Like, with the ordinal style NFTs. And how, like you mentioned, that you can mint on chain directly to Bitcoin.
There are several schools of thoughts. So if you are, someone like me, right, a bit techy and interested in all this, I feel that someone found a breakthrough on the BTC chain, like on top of doing just payment transfer before and the store of value, which is the only goal, right? Previously, right now you can do a lot more stuff.
Mm.
And people see that you can start to build application on it. So that's the fun part. Then there's another school of thought will be, this is more of the, because some countries, those smaller countries, I think we had this small discussion before in other episodes that they embrace BTC, right? So for example, El Salvador or other smaller countries, and they are using it for maybe payment.
Mm.
When you have a bunch of degens here trying to spin up meme coins on BTC chain and jack up the gas fee, right? So these people who are using it for the real use case will have a problem because they're transferring their payment and they will have an increased fee.
Yeah.
So that's quite painful for them.
I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I am on the, Bitcoin Maxi school of thought. I feel as if, we really don't need this kind of utility for Bitcoin. It serves enough purpose as being seen as an alternative to the current banking systems, and that's all we need at this point in time in terms of narrative. But that's my perspective. I don't know how you guys feel about this.
I'm wondering about BRC20 meme coins. I mean, this was a topic that thought about discussing today, so I'm quite happy that we're talking about it anyway.
Since we're here, guys, we might as well talk about it.
But then we didn't have that much knowledge of it in the first place, but it's great that Bossley knows so much. So if you could tell us a bit more about BRC20 meme coins and what's driving that and why. I mean, is there a need for it? And
I think right now meme coin season. So everyone is trying to find the next 100x. So Ethereum gas fee are getting out of control. So with the meme coin season, of course, you can flip quite a bit, right? Like what's happening with Monk, Pepe, and even things like Turbo.
Yeah, man, Pepe. I mean, I don't know what's reality anymore, honestly, guys. It's I'm lost.
Maybe you should have sold and invest in meme coin. No, I'm joking.
I feel as if I need to do it, But in terms of just, the liquidity for say these BRC20s, right? Like, is it what was it like at the moment,
I'm not quite sure about the numbers, but I'm quite certain that it is definitely building up.
Okay.
Yeah. Because if you can see, so let's say Ethereum, right? A lot of people are trying to launch meme coins. Some are scams, some are proper, some are just trying out stuff, right? So the pump and dump and the gas starts to go up. You need to move to another place.
Mm.
Right, so let's say you move to Arbitrum, Polygon. All these are like old things. So BRC20 is something new, right? And the gas are not expensive. So people hop over. That's one of the things that people do. And there are also users over there that can experience new things. So for example, someone like me, I'm also into BTC, but I'm not exactly like a full maxi. So I'm willing to try out, right? So you have new audience over there willing to join the game. So right now it's all meme coins. All meme coins, like really all. There's no decent coin on it, right? All meme token. And
as it should be.
But that's the one that is driving traffic, driving volume, driving the chain fee. In fact, the miners are making more. compared to like 2-3 weeks ago. It's a plus lah, but there's also a painful part, like I said just now, where the gas fee goes up. The real world use cases are sort of like affected.
Yeah.
Then people are also countering this with, hey, there's Lightning. But Lightning is not that simple also, because I have been looking into it. Setting up a Lightning wallet, there are custodial and non-custodial, and you need to set up different channel. And because Lightning is sort of like, to put it in a simple way, it's like a side chain to BTC, right? They also inherit some of the gas component. That means if BTC spike, they're still cheap, but they will also spike a bit. So people are looking at scaling solution for BTC. I think the plus positive part is the BTC crowd or the dev, all of them sees this. They know exciting stuff, application can be built on it, but how are we going to scale it, right? Because we have this problem of real world money transfer that is kind of being affected.
Okay, so just, I guess, for the benefit of our audience, right? Like, if I wanted to mint a Ordinals, like a BRC20, like, you know, NFT, right? How would I do that right now? Like, what are the simple steps?
So right now, the easiest process, you can get a Ordinal wallet. It's a Chrome extension. It's a website. It's a marketplace. So they created an extension. They call it Ordinal wallet. So you just go to the site and you can set up the wallet and you can use it. It is also a marketplace. So you can see the Ordinals, the BRC token in it. Now, this particular Ordinal wallets is not open source. Unistats is the one that is open source. It is also a Chrome extension. It also has its own marketplace. So these are the two that I am using. I mean, there are a few others, but these are the two I'm using. And if you are interested to see the BRC tokens, their market cap, their chart, kind of like the CoinGecko or the CMC, it will be BRC20 space IO. If you Google this, right, BRC20 space IO, then you will see. It's a great, very simple listing site that someone made. And that is where you can see all the meme tokens. Right now, I'm not a TradeFi person that is into arbitrage, so I'm not very good at that. But right now, there is because there are several marketplaces and the price is not efficient. So a token might be selling 50 cents on platform A, on platform B is selling 60 cents. So there are opportunities there. So these are the few tools, or rather the first two are the wallet, then the third one is the tools for you to monitor the different tokens. And the fourth one is actually called mempool. If you are just a speculator, you don't really care about all this. When you are buying, you will also have to key in the gas price, right? They will recommend like low, mid, high. You just go for high because you are just speculating. If you are interested to see all the transactions and all, then there's this site called mempool.space. This is kind of like the Etherscan. So Etherscan is for Ethereum, right? So mempool.space is actually for, it's like an explorer for BTC.
Oh, okay. Right.
Yeah.
Fascinating. Looks like I have to give it a shot after this podcast.
Interesting, yeah.
Yeah.
You can launch your own also. BRC20 tokens, I think $25, you on one of the platform you can launch your own. Like for example, you want to launch the Blockcast.
No. I got
21 million.
I got a better idea, man.
You need,
we have the the Reginald token, Reggie's face.
You should launch it and try lah. Maybe some of the audience will buy. Then
TFC listeners and TFC staff will buy. I will buy.
Yeah, Reggie's face with different hairstyles. He's gonna kill me.
Wait. So where would you mint these tokens again?
So today, if you want to mint the Blockcast token, you can go to the same two sites that I share with you. Yeah. So I think under Ordinal's wallet, under the inscribe tab,
yep,
then you can inscribe from there.
Okay.
Yeah. Cool. But yeah, like Mark said, I think a Reggie token will gain more traction.
Yeah. You should do that also. Totally do that. Yeah. Oh. So I play around. I also inscribe. The ticker can only be 4 character. Like 1234567888888 or ABCD, Pepe, PEPE, meme, MEME. Yeah. So it can be only a lot of the 4 characters have been taken up. So you need to be very creative. So for example, KPKB, this kind of stuff also taken up already. 8888 also taken up. Yeah, a lot of this funny stuff all taken up.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Okay, I'll move on to the next story. This is a report that I wanted to discuss with you guys, I think like 2 weeks ago or something, but we didn't have an episode that week. So it is about the Andreessen Horowitz A16Z State of Crypto Report. This is its second State of Crypto Report. The first was published May last year. A lot has happened in the past year. I mean, since then, there has been so many crashes. But despite all this, if you take a look at the report, you would have the impression that the whole industry is going great.
Well, I mean, put it this way, have you guys seen the report? I mean, if you guys have read it, or the audience has read it, right? It is unusually, I would say, like, even for like, you know, like people like us, right? It seems incredibly bullish on crypto.
I have a take on this. So A16Z, we need to know that, or at least A16Z is super vested into the crypto scene. So it only makes sense, how do I say this? Because they are very vested, right? So they have a strong incentive. And to be very honest, I feel that this report is not for us. So if you see what they are doing together with Coinbase, they are actually, you know, rubbing shoulder with all the candidates and all this, trying to lobby and try to get the crypto into the right path. And this report and all is just showing that, you know, despite bear market, no, everyone is continually building technology. The focus is on technology innovation. It's not on price. This is my personal take. This report is not for us. It's for them to, you know, showcase, put on the table, PowerPoint slide.
I mean, they need this crypto to do well, put it this way.
Yeah.
It's essentially like a little pitch for companies who are looking to step into the cryptocurrency Web3 scene to say like, hey, you know, we're doing good, you should come in and give them business, that kind of thing, is it?
Yeah, I mean, they're a venture capital firm that you know, backs big tech, basically, and they want to attract more funds, more money into the space. So, you know, they paint a very rosy picture of the industry, of its growth, of its broader adoption, more development going on, more startup funding, more social mentions, so also basically greater awareness. All these metrics are, but somewhat questionable the way it's all presented. Mark, you've read Molly White's blog post on this report.
Oh yeah. I mean, like, so just to kind of, like, before we get into the report, I mean, just to give the audience some numbers, one of the key things that they moved away from their previous report was that instead of using price metrics, they, you know, conveniently remove price metrics, and then I think they just based it off global crypto market cap. So they pulled data from like CoinMarketCap, and, you know, they are calling for like a 270.9% increase in the crypto market cap across the next year to about 3 trillion. I mean, these are just ginormous numbers, in my opinion. And you have to wonder, like, you know, like right now, where is the money coming from, right? So that's the first thing. I mean, among some of the more outlandish things that they say in this report, it's still pretty much touting the same narratives as before. Like, you know, Web3 is going to be the next iteration of like the internet, you know, comparing Web1 and Web2. But I think what is interesting here is that a lot of Web3 is still an aspiration. Okay, so that is something that, you know, we hope to see. And it is, you know, in part, like, you know, I think that there are things to be hopeful about, but, you know, I think it's important to know that we are not there yet. Right. So like when you do read this report, I think that's one of the things that people should bear in mind. And this is another nugget here that I found really interesting. What they did was that, you know, so in discussing, like, I would say crypto's environmental, the concerns around, like, the, I would say, like, the electricity usage around minting, trading cryptocurrencies and transactions, for example, right? YouTube is a benchmark. So what I mean by this is that the point that they made was that Ethereum uses less electricity than Bitcoin, right? Which uses less electricity than global data centers, which uses less electricity than YouTube, right? So I just found it a really strange benchmark here. Like, you know, you're essentially removing, because ETH was always compared to, say, Bitcoin in terms of like electricity usage, right? But by bringing up another non-crypto real-world example, you know, they're essentially changing the goalposts here, right? It kind of, at the end of the day, that it still uses a ton of electricity, okay? So by bringing in, like, you know, like a non-crypto example, I guess it's kind of like a way to detract away from that point. Yeah. I just found it really, really strange that they would use YouTube, the amount of electricity like that YouTube uses as a benchmark in this report.
I always thought they should benchmark against the banking industry's electricity usage, right? If that's what it's supposed to replace.
And then there's another point here about how like Web3 games are going great. Any of you, any of us here playing Web3 games in the moment?
No.
No. And I also want to touch on this point. I think Web3 games adoption is hard. Yeah. Maybe not now, but it's hard. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, I've always had pretty strong views about Web3 gaming, you know? I mean, I guess it depends on how you can expand your definition of a game, but you know, they cite examples like Axie Infinity, but it always seemed more like microfinance businesses to me than actual games. Yeah. Mm. But then again, like, you know, I have been said that my points of view here are pretty elitist because, like, as long as someone derives some sort of enjoyment, then who am I to say what's a game or not?
not just enjoyment. I was just reminded of the fact that last year, everyone was talking about Axie Infinity scholarships. Do you remember that? if you can't afford to play the game, you can get a scholarship and to play the game, and then, you know, basically you give back like 40% of your earnings to the foundation that has provided you with these characters that you play your games with. What the hell?
So I think all in all, like, you know, like I would say that not everything in this report is obviously, like, you know, I mean, I am being very critical about this, but I am also reading this report from the context that Andreessen Horowitz is, they are like essentially like, you know, like what the biggest name in crypto venture capitalism. So that is one part of it. Like when a report like that comes out, right, you know, everyone would take it seriously and then it would be also like, you know, widely propagated. Okay. But I think that, you know, it's also important to know that, like, you know, when viewed in the context of who is writing it, obviously there's a sense of like they would be biased towards optimism. Right. But I think the tone in which this report was written, the optimism is unbalanced. And it also doesn't really fit well with the general sentiment around crypto, around Web3, and around, you know, like the industry at this point in time. So I think therefore, when they release something like this, you know, you would see some pretty strong reactions online, and that's what has happened.
I mean, you just have a look at it, right? You feel that you're still in the middle of the bull market last year, right? It's all hypotheticals and hype. And then, like, you know, any criticism regarding that, the answer is very simple. Is, you know, we're still in the early days. You know, it's a long, long way to go. We've heard this time and again for the past few years. I mean, it's quite, like you said, Mark, like the tone and the language used in this report, it feels a bit like outdated.
And I mean, like, if there's anything to kind of like leave, right, it's like, you know, like, yeah, they're predicting a $3 trillion market cap for crypto. I think within the next, one or 2 years, is it? But yeah, so some gaudy numbers like that. It's put there in the report. And, you know, like, if you guys are interested or if you're feeling down and like pessimistic about what's happening, go read this report and then you'll feel better about yourself. That is how we're right?
All right, so for our next story, we're going to be talking about how Leandro Lopez, a pretty well-known fashion house in the recent year, has come up and is dipping their toes into crypto. And their current campaign, known as Where to Earn, is essentially pushing and allowing their users to receive around $2,000 worth of US dollars just from walking, right? So Leandro Lopez, if for the people who don't know, are one of the fastest growing fashion brands in 2022. And they are starting to kind of dip their toes into cryptocurrency and are trying to leverage blockchain tech and trying to introduce their new tokens and a new cryptocurrency-based infrastructure via this Dollar Lopez token.
Yeah, I was just going to say that, you know, like what actually really stands out to me about this is that this tech isn't new. For example, it started with Stepn, STEPN. I'm not sure if you guys are familiar with that. It actually was
walk to earn.
quite the rage, you know, like all this like run to earn, walk to earn projects. What is interesting to me is that they are thinking about doing this in this climate, right? So at least like from my experience, you know, working with brands and on the marketing side of things, right, there was a point in time when launching an NFT or like, you know, like slapping a Web3 element to your brand would generate, you know, really healthy and positive PR buzz. So it's like, you know, you don't need to pay for a PR campaign, just, you know, commence work on like a Web3 project, right? And then bam, you get that the marketing and PR value from that was really good, especially right smack in the middle of like the bull cycle, right? But then now we reach a point after like 1 year of like crashes and scams and bad shit happening, right? A lot of the mainstream brands, they just don't want to touch this space for a while simply because of the negative press that is surrounding it. So it is quite surprising to me when I see a brand doing it now. Like, I mean, like, they must have some sort of insight that we don't. Yeah. What do you all think?
Ryan, I mean, personally, I'm not familiar with this brand, but how has the reception been? Because I also thought that blockchain-related wearables were kind of dead on arrival
to begin with.
I mean, yeah. I was also pretty surprised when I heard about this news, like, I think it was like a few days ago, like just yesterday. So far, what the brand has been doing is, I'm very sure this is like a marketing thing where they're trying to just, you know, push the name out. Because right before this, what they were doing was they were signing a bunch of celebrities to, or like getting them to endorse it. So they had Floyd Mayweather, they had Tekashi 6ix9ine, they had Future, all of them, you know. Yeah, they're just giving them shoes, making them wear like apparel, recording, obviously stage like Instagram stories and stuff like that just to push the brand. So I'm pretty sure this is just one of their like marketing gimmicks where they're trying to just push the
name out. So they got these celebrities to push the project or to just push the brand?
Push the brand, but simultaneously like name dropping about the project.
Oh, so they were like Floyd Mayweather was involved in talking about this.
Yeah, they were like, you know, check out Leandro Lopez. You know, they're really good. They've been supporting me. You know, damn, that kind of thing. And blah blah blah.
Wow,
yeah.
I mean, these guys never learn from like what last time, like the whole FTX thing. Then crypto.com got like Matt Damon, and then got like Tom Brady. You know, I think Tom Brady was like, you know, like FTX endorser as well or some shit like that.
Yeah,
you know,
I think he was.
But it is the standard playbook, right? Like, you know, like you launch a Web3 NFT project and then like as brand marketing, and then you like, you know, like get celebrities to kind of market that. I thought there were some issues with that as well, right, Tim? Like there's some
Floyd Mayweather was involved in a crypto scam lawsuit, like together,
yeah, no, yeah,
together,
that's right,
together
that's
with
right.
Kim Kardashian and a bunch of others for promoting Ethereum Max. This was not too long ago. Yeah.
Yeah. It's quite interesting.
Yeah. So
okay, well, I mean, like, if it's anything, it's made me kind of take notice of Leandro Lopez. I'm definitely not the target market, but like, you know, like it's, you know, I guess that the PR is working in that sense. You know, I am now acquainted with like what they do.
Yeah, even like in the conclusions, they've mentioned stuff like, oh, what they're doing now is to basically just, they're farming in a sense that, you know, they're getting people to like buy digital artifacts and stuff like that, NFTs, so that they can boost profits and they can open more physical store locations and that kind of thing.
So how do you farm with this brand's products?
So you get these tokens called Dollar Lopez, and you can receive them through their wear and earn program.
Hmm.
And they essentially give users a fixed amount of tokens for every 1,000 steps.
Also, like when you're wearing their products and you walk, then you get...
Yeah, so there is a microchip within the shoe, something like that. There's a microchip within the shoe, and every 1,000 steps, they will give you a certain amount of tokens and stuff. And the app also has like, it's like a game. It's like there's challenges, there's like bonus systems, and there's also like leveling systems.
Wow,
that when you add up in total, it gives you to about $2,000 a day if you do it right and stuff.
I mean, it sounds great, but isn't this like you get dressed in the morning, it's already like such a drag for me. And now I got to think about like financial planning in relation to my outfit.
No, that's you, bro. I rock out a bit, you know, like ready to spread sunshine to the world.
I wonder if anyone has done the numbers on, you know, what is the break even for purchasing this line of clothing with, you know, how much you need to wear and walk to make your... Basically, your outfits.
Well, I'm guessing
or...
like it might actually work out in like, you know, like more walkable cities. I mean, like, you know, like if you look at, you know, cities in the US, some of them are actually pretty walkable. In Australia, I mean, Singapore is a bit tough at this time, like, because of the weather, like, you know, you won't catch me walking anywhere. I'll just be sitting put in my aircon, very typically. Right, Ryan. Do you own any like, you know, like Leandro Lopez stuff?
No, I don't. It's also very new to me. That's fine.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Okay. Well, I guess on that note, I guess we can wrap today. You know, like it's been a great, great conversation. Certainly learned like, you know, like a number of things that were new. I'm definitely going to try minting like a BRC20 token.
Yeah, stay tuned for the Reggie meme coin.
And the Reggie meme coin. Reg. And I will hit up Boss Lee for like a tutorial. Yeah, he's a pro here.
Yeah, stay tuned.
We should do it. Maybe you want to do either for TFC or Blockhead, right? Video or like how to create a meme coin.
Mm-hmm.
Or yeah, you know, on BRC20 or is it on Ethereum? Guess it's too expensive to demo. You can do it on Polygon. It's very easy. If you are going through a tutorial, like step one, step two, step three, takes about 1 hour and you have your demo meme coin out there.
Awesome. I think that sounds like a good content idea. If you look into it. It
would be interesting for the audience to see on top of just buying, right? Right now, you are if you want, you can be the creator.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Cool.
I'm very curious to see how many TFC and Blockhouse listeners actually make their tokens and what they look like.
Yeah, you know, there's this very like garage meth lab Breaking Bad feel to this thing, you know. I don't know whether you guys, am I allowed to say that on there? But anyway, ignore me, guys. Okay. Yeah, with that, I guess we'll catch you all next week. You know, thanks. See you all later.
Hey Coconuts, so yes, I hope you enjoy this new show that we're building together with the team at Blockhead. And the goal is very clear, right? We're not here to shill any token or be a cheerleader for any project, but we feel that there's a lot of development that's going on in this space that we could cover and continue to be a little bit smarter as investors. I mean, eventually you tune in every week to a financial podcast network so that you can be smarter with your investments. And if so happen this is something that you're looking at, the crypto space, Web3, Metaverse, all these kind of stuff, then that is where we're trying to cover, but not from the angle of like this is good, that is bad, but really trying to see it from like what is happening, how is it developing. And I hope you find this useful and interesting, right? So if you want to continue to get more coverage around the crypto space, check out blockhead.co, and then we will see you next week.